coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And I want to welcome everyone to Hagman. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. And that's where you'll find the video and audio segments that we do. HagmanReport.com for all the print material, the show prep, and HagmanStore.com for some delicious gourmet coffee. Your purchase also subsidizes our efforts to fight child trafficking and human sex trafficking. Got a great show lined up for you today. I got to tell you that Ted Brewer and Mancow and Roger Stone were, hopefully I'm not speaking out of school, but they spent some time together. And Roger Stone is going to be coming up later this program, as will Mr. Brewer. Before I get going, I want to thank Policy Genius, policygenius.com. Folks, have you heard about Policy Genius? Look, shopping for life insurance can raise a lot of questions. How much coverage do you need? Which insurance company do you, is the best one for you? How much should it even cost? Now, at a time when it's more important than ever to have life insurance, you know, the pandemic, well, it's making it a little more complicated, shall we say, to shop for it. Well, that's where Policy Genius can help. As a life insurance marketplace. And by the way, when I was a captive agent tons of years ago, selling life insurance, I would fear people going to like a insurance marketplace because, man, they could beat the prices of the company I was selling for. But as a life insurance marketplace place backed by a team of experts, Policy Genius is keeping track of all the changes in the marketplace so you don't have to. They will find you the right amount of coverage at the best possible price without the headache. I'm going to tell you, they compare quotes from the top life insurance companies, put it all in one place. It just takes a few minutes to compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. It just doesn't save you only a lot of legwork. You could save, $1,500 or more a year, and that's been proven by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Now, here's what you need to do, folks. You know what? Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all of the paperwork and red tape for free. And I find that so refreshing. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they'll be there to take care of everything. You need life insurance, folks. Please listen to me. You need it. And I want to thank Policy Genius for stepping up here. So here's what you need to do. And if you need life insurance, which you do, but you're not sure where to start, head to policygenius.com. Policy Genius will find you the best rate to handle the process completely. They will then get you and your family protected. And that's the thing. And hopefully give you one less thing to worry about. Try it today. That's policygenius.com. All right. So there's so much to get into. And I want to thank everyone for your belief and your support, your trust in this platform. You know, a couple of things happened this week. Now, you know, Monday and Tuesday, we were dark. We were on assignment. Yes, we were on assignment. This is more than a radio show. We actually get out from behind the microphone and do things. I noticed a comment on one of the YouTubes saying, you know, hey, you, what? Well, you can flap your gums, but you don't do anything. Oh, you don't know. Watch for arrests. I would say, I said maybe this week or next. I really believe any time now, watch for arrests to take place here in Pennsylvania, the state. I'm not going to identify the area, which also extends into New York, and that's involved in child and human sex trafficking. I'll just leave it at that because I'm just going to leave it at that. Again, I don't want to say too much. Okay. So we're 118 days away from a presidential election, from a national election. Tucker Carlson and Brit Hume, if you happen to see them yesterday, I'm not going to play the segment, but the Biden or the Democratic left, the progressive, don't like that word, the Communist Party, that's what we're fighting here, has an agenda. And they've had this agenda for forever. All right. Now, remember, this agenda has been built There's four stages. Demoralization. These are the components of this agenda. Demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and normalization. All right, let me repeat those four stages and commit these to memory. Demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and normalization. Now, I believe, let me just double check this here. I believe the Spectator, American Spectator had, actually, yes, they had this article earlier today published and mentioned the accuracy of Yuri Bezmenov, the Russian, or the Soviet defector. That he is a journalist, Soviet defector, who identified this. Now, here's, I get emails all of the time. Did you see this video? You know, you remember the Bezmenov video, I'm sure. Yes, I've seen it. I've reposted it. I might do it again here after the show. But this is what we've seen taking place over the last 100 years, really. It's been 100 years. But in earnest, after the fall of the Soviet Union, to lulls in the sense of complacency, communism's not a threat. Well, okay, so then we had the rise of the communists, and of which is the various subgroups, and the communist actors, the communist billionaire financiers. But what I want to address right now, and I think this is extremely important, is that people are looking at the national scope, the things in the national scope, and I believe that is important. Tucker Carlson, as I mentioned, talking with Brit Hume, saying that this, the we could end up with a one-party nation, and that would be a huge problem, obviously. But it, think about this: this one-party nation would be that of a communist, starting out maybe a socialist, but ending up with a communist kind of tyranny, tyrannical rule. So I started looking into this in the as we're looking at 118 days to the presidential election, and I began seeing many many more or equally important components of this national communization of America, the takedown. Remember the four stages. And one thing that struck out at me, and it has to do with Roger Stone, it has to do with each one of us. And by the way, look, folks, I don't care if you like or don't like Roger Stone. It doesn't matter. We are all Roger Stone at this point. To see someone who's been railroaded, in my view, in a caught up in this Russia hoax, and then put in a position to be put on trial, where a jury, I mean, look at the jury. Look what the jury did. Look at the composition of the jury. You think he got a fair trial? He did not. Now he's 4 days away. 4 days away right now of having to report to federal prison. This morning, President Trump had made some overtures about that. Maybe maybe President Trump will commute his sentence, which is what Roger Stone wants, so he could prove his innocence. But that'll take $1 million. And believe me, the cost of any kind of litigation is debilitating. It's devastating. I believe Roger Stone lost his house. He lost his savings. I know that. And I had the chance to speak with Roger in Washington and other times. And I know what he's going through. When you've got 29 agents, FBI agents, descending upon your house in a pre-dawn raid, and you got CNN parked on the on your front lawn ahead of the raid, and you got amphibious vehicles in the water and a helicopter overhead, you know, I mean, seriously, they don't even do that for the worst of the worst criminals, or once in a while, but totally needless. And the amount of money that cost is just staggering to make a point. But that's what we are all up against. But how is this working even more at a granular level? Let me explain this. One of the communist goals, this was laid out specifically in 2016. Now you can go back to 2008 and a little bit earlier than that, where the agenda was laid out with the ACLU and other organizations. But it really took off in earnest in 2016. Once President Trump won the election, and even before, to set up what we're seeing today. One of the communist core goals is to reform the justice system. What are we hearing today? Defund the police. In 2016, George Soros launched this under the radar campaign, reshape the American judicial and justice system. Back in 2016, George Soros and all of his, or and some, I should say, of his satellite companies, funneled more than $3 million into 7 local races for district attorney. Think about that. I'm not sure if this is the one from, is that the one from 2016?
Yeah.
Okay. This, I found this, and I found this very interesting. This was an article that was published in 2016. George Soros, Quiet Overhaul of the U.S. Justice System. Now, this was, again, the publishing date was August 30th of 2016. The author, Scott Bland. And look there, the progressives have zeroed in on electing prosecutors as an avenue for criminal justice reform, and the billionaire financier is providing cash to make this happen. Now, you're going to find on Snopes and other places, oh, no. Now, this is just conspiracy nonsense. But what's highlighted there on your screen is the fact that he funneled more than $3 million into 7 local district attorney campaigns. Pay attention to this. Everyone's looking at the Department of Justice and the infiltration there. Yes, we should, but don't stop there. Understand what's happening on a local level and perhaps in your county, in your town. And there is a multi-pronged effort here. You've got, targeting. Soros targeting and the left or the communist targeting, the DA, the offices of the district attorney, the sheriffs of the various counties. All one has to do is think about Joe Arpaio. I'll get to that in a second. And judgeships. Gee, wait a second. Now, look, I know that this does not necessarily apply, given the nomination of Amy Berman Jackson with Roger Stone. But nonetheless, the result is the same. The other aspect of this is to reform sentencing guidelines, to fix the black and white disparities. Now, Colin Flaherty had written a fantastic book, White Girl Bleed a Lot, and provided a lot of statistics. And you might say, well, this is racist to even talk about. Well, do statistics lie? If you have black-on-black crime, black-on-black murders, white-on-white, I mean, it is what it is. You can't, I mean, if a white guy takes a gun and shoots another white guy in the uniform, the FBI uniform, statistics, criminal justice statistics, yeah, it's a Caucasian shooting a Caucasian. That would apply with black or Hispanic or regardless. The facts don't change. So when you compile the statistics and compile the facts, you see that really, in order to reform the sentencing to fix the black and white disparities, you would have to change somehow change the statistics. Florida, Illinois, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, Texas. All of these DA races had money funneled into the DA races by way of state super PACs and a national 527 unlimited money group. Who was the Mr. Moneybags? Soros and the company and the people around him. Anytime you see the words or the phrase safety and justice, you better take a good hard look at what you're looking at. Because it's neither about safety nor justice. It's about a whole load, boatload of payback against the white person. But every one of these programs is a variation of that safety and justice. To give you an example, a Florida or the Florida Safety and Justice Group, $1.4 million influx of money, all from George Soros. This is in Central Florida. That, by the way, supported Aramis Alea, the former public defender and prosecutor against incumbent Jeff Ashton. Now, this is a particularly important DA race that actually covered or affected 1.6 million people in two different counties. This is involving Metro Orlando. That's, you can see it working in that fashion. So what we're seeing today is a fight not only, and thank you, Eric, for putting that up, but a fight not only on a federal level, but now the war, the battleground is in the state and county levels. As you can see on your screen, the Florida Safety and Justice Group poured nearly $1.4 million, all of which came from Soros and this 527 group, into previously low-budget Democratic primary for state attorney in Central Florida before Tuesday's vote. The group is backing Aramis Ayala, a former public defender and prosecutor in her campaign against incumbent Jeff Ashton, whose jurisdiction covers, again, 1.6 million people across two counties in Metro Orlando. Please pay attention to this. What began really in 2008 and forward extended into 2016 and has really been taking off since then. What does this have to do with things that we're seeing today? Look at, for example, the Black Lives Matter, they call them murals, right? The painting on the street. And how petty, by the way, de Blasio painting Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower Plaza there. But think about the situation where a woman and another guy put black paint over, matching the street color, obviously, the street of dark black charcoal, whatever you want to call it, to cover up one or two letters of Black Lives Matter. Well, what did the prosecutor there do? They charged her and her accomplice with a hate crime. Seriously. And then you've got this. If you look on your screen, you've got de Blasio and others, this group, this squalid group of misfits putting Black Lives Matter, of course, in front of Trump Tower. Now, I stood in front of Trump Tower in New York City some years ago. In fact, I've got a couple of pictures I should bring out. And this, to me, is just a big F-U.
There's the mayor.
Yeah. And the masked mayor, by the way.
PR stunt.
You know, Eric the Tech, by the way, it's Friday, and it's good to have
it.
It's good to be Friday. Yeah. Of course, 24/7, it doesn't really matter what day it is. But yeah, you're right. There's the mayor. What a photo op, right? And this, by the way, is the same guy that said, look, Black Lives Matter protests, they're okay. But church gatherings, we can't have that. it's okay to gather in numbers with Black Lives Matter protests, but no, no, you want to go to church? Nope. Nope. Because of this coronavirus, this plandemic, we can't have you meeting in churches. And what do we have? We have this acquiescence and compliance of, by churches. When in the hell are we going to stand up as Christians and as Christian conservatives and say, no. Sorry, we will not comply.
But church is not a trending hashtag. It doesn't get you votes.
That's right. Yes.
And how much he's screwed up all of his coronavirus bull crap.
I had the pleasure of speaking with a medical doctor this morning, and I can't name of this medical doctor, but a local medical doctor, and she was spitting mad. She knows about this coronavirus. She's treated coronavirus patients. She's been a doctor for a number of years. And I'm going to have her come on. Now, she can't, identify. She cannot say my name is, Mary Smith, for example. Dr. Mary. She can't do that. But she's agreed to come on at a future point to talk about the hoax that we're seeing and the mask laws. And she called me up and she was rightfully upset. She said, this is not about healthcare. This is about sheep. This is about control. And you know this. So this all wraps together the corona plandemic. Look, it's a thing, but it's an RNA virus that is mutating out. And I won't get into that right now, but it's important for people to understand what's taking place. But, I was looking through the various history of what Soros and the people who fund Soros or who are behind Soros and Soros using his own money, transforming the justice system by funding DA races, by funding sheriff's races and judicial races where they're appointed. There was an article in Capital Research that was published in 12/17/19 last December, that stated that since 2015, George Soros has spent more than $17 million on district attorney and other local races in swing states such as Pennsylvania, Virginia, Arizona, but also in large, predominantly left-of-center states, California and New York. In 2016, he dropped $2 million into a single sheriff race in Maricopa County, and that was the race against Joe Arpaio. Now, I've had the opportunity to talk to Joe Arpaio, and I do remember speaking to him in Washington, D.C. about this issue, and he said there's no way to fight. There was absolutely no way to fight. This was after the fact. And when you're looking at a $2 million war chest, no, it's just not going to happen. So I would urge you, everyone to look at the DA, look at the judgeships, look at the sheriffs, and then look at Black Lives Matter. And, of course, we know the funding and ideological bias of Black Lives Matter. The political and corporate support for Black Lives Matter has become ubiquitous, especially over the past couple of weeks. There was an article written by John Hayward, back the early part of June. This was June 11th. So we're looking at about a month ago, where he said everyone's email inbox is bulging with messages of support from corporate sponsors. Every website is covered with Black Lives Matter logos. The group has benefited from numerous fundraisers and charity sales. Okay. And the hashtags, as Eric mentioned, Now, Black Lives Matter, and this is important to understand, they describe their own founders as three radical black organizers, and I'll mention their names again, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. They created this black-centered political will and movement building project. And what did was this in response to? The Trayvon Martin murder by George Zimmerman. Which brings me to the point from yesterday when Jack Heschel was in studio. Did you see that? It was a great show. Talking about Joel Gilbert's expose, an incredible expose. Go to HagmanReport.com and watch the investigative report by Joel Gilbert. I'm telling you right now. You talk, in my view, this is my view, prosecutorial misconduct. Now, Jack Cashel is a little bit more reserved on that. But to know that that whole thing was based on an absolute lie, that gave birth to Black Lives Matter. Had that been disclosed, the fact that the witness, this girlfriend of Trayvon Martin, was actually not his girlfriend, and it was somebody else. It was an imposter. That's right. You would not have had Black Lives Matter, potentially. Or at least that would not have been the impetus for Black Lives Matter. So you can see how things kind of build upon things. But Black Lives Matter, they incessantly refer to the deaths of Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, and others as murder, ignoring various court decisions to the contrary. And they describe police work, which this comes into defunding the police and now defunding the military, as state-sanctioned violence. This is how far this has gone. So I take you back to the opening statement. What did I say about the communist takeover? What is it? Hang on. The four pieces? Well, it's demoralization. I can't find it here. Demoralization. Just go back and you can find that out. And by the way, I want to mention this as well. I get a lot of emails saying, what was Jack saying? What were you saying? What was the word? Samizdat. Samizdat. S-A-M-I-Z-D-A-T. Samizdat. Samizdat. Say it with me. Samizdat. It's important to understand. Samizdat. That is the underground media, shall we say. And then we talked about firemen. And a reference to Fahrenheit 451, the 1951 Ray Bradbury dystopian novel. Fahrenheit 451, where that name comes from, is 451 degrees Fahrenheit, is the temperature at which paper burns. The book burners, firemen. Folks, we've only just begun. 118 days, certain, in my view, certain civil war. And whether it's kicked off officially before then or after then, doesn't matter if Donald Trump wins or if Biden wins, it's coming. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. Up next, Roger Stone. Stay with me. Welcome to Hagmann. This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. In the crosshairs of the deep state, a man in the crosshairs of the deep state is Roger Stone. You know, you've heard me talking about the case against Roger Stone, or the case of Roger Stone. I want to speak very briefly before he comes on to every evangelical, every Christian out there, every person listening to the sound of my voice. I know Roger Stone. I consider myself a friend, hopefully he considers me a friend as well, of the program and of this platform. I've had the pleasure of meeting Roger Stone. Mancow, of course, spent the day with him, and as well as, Ted Brower. Two sites, folks, freerogerstone.com, stonedefensefund.com. If you can hear me, the sound of my voice, please sign the petition to pardon Roger Stone. Do it now, as well as contribute deeply to the Stone Defense Fund. He needs it, and he needs our prayers. This man is a Christian. He is, and he's being persecuted in a way which you and I will never experience. Well, we're all Roger Stone. Roger, thanks for joining me.
I'm really delighted to be here. As you know, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, the leftist judge appointed by Barack Obama, put me under what I believe to be an unconstitutional gag order both before and during my trial. So I had to sit there while MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Associated Press and many others just would rain this tsunami of disinformation, of falsehood. You know, he's a Russian agent. He's a Russian spy. He's going to be indicted for treason or espionage or money laundering Russian money into American campaign contributions, cyber crime, and so on. Of course, once the Mueller investigation basically buffaloed several judges and magistrates into giving them a search warrant, and once they had access to all of my electronic devices, my computers, my phone, and so on, they found no evidence of any of those crimes. None. And therefore, they went and manufactured a case of lying to Congress. Now, it's not quite that simple, because one who has lied to Congress is violating the False Statements Act. And to be guilty, there are two tests. The matter in which you make a misstatement about has to be material. It has to matter. It has to be relevant. It has to be, substantial. And you have to have the intent to have done so, the motive. In my case, what I really believe happened is Mueller and his thugs obtained all of my emails. Then they sat down with Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, then the minority leader of the committee, and they fashioned from my emails innocuous but still true, in other words, true misstatements, even if the result was immaterial or innocuous, to set up a series of gotcha questions. I went to the committee voluntarily, no subpoena. I testified for 5 hours, I think 5.5 hours. There was no evidence alleged of Russian collusion because there was none. They decided at the end to throw in a charge of witness tampering to make me sound more ominous. It was alleged that I threatened to steal another witness's, in the case's, dog. He said on the stand he never thought I was serious about taking his dog. He never felt threatened. He wrote a letter to the judge and said he never felt threatened. The truth is, this witness, Randy Credico, threatened to shoot another witness in the case, an exculpatory witness for me, in the head if his testimony before the House, before the grand jury, differed from that of Randy Credico. So he should have been charged with witness tampering, not me. The whole thing is, it's like a bad nightmare. You don't even believe that this can happen in America, that in the blink of an eye, you lose your voice, you lose your ability to travel freely, you lose your assets, your home, in my case, my home, my car, my insurance, most of it, almost 90% of it. My savings, my ability to make a living, because people pay me to write and speak, but the thing they'll pay you to write and speak about is the one topic you're not allowed to talk about. It's been an awful 18 months. I can't even begin to explain to you what it's like when you have the full force of the United States government with the deepest pockets you can imagine coming after you, and you have to, as I've had to do, scrounge up the money to pay lawyers to try to stay out of prison when I know I've committed no crime and that I was targeted for purely political reasons. When Rod Rosenstein, the acting attorney general of the United States under Donald Trump, and perhaps the sleaziest weasel that's ever been in federal government, testified for the Senate Judiciary Committee a couple weeks ago, he insisted that he was not the person who authorized the investigation into Roger Stone. Except for we go to the documents in October 26, 2017, he's the one who signed the document. I'll put aside the fact that that means he lied to Congress, the exact crime they prosecuted me on. But what that means is they didn't even open an investigation into me until 3 months after they knew already there was no Russian collusion. So it proves that the investigation of me was politically motivated. And I didn't receive even the vaguest semblance of a fair trial. The whole thing was it's a Kafkaesque, experience. It's very hard for the individual who hasn't been through it to believe it. This is why I have such great empathy for General Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn is a great American patriot. He is a great American patriot.
I totally agree with you on that, and I hope everything's okay there. I'm still confused how Judge Amy Berman Jackson would allow that jury, that politically tainted jury, biased jury, to even be seated, let alone render a verdict, which I guess is the core of your desire for commutation. Is that correct?
I apologize.
No worries. You got to be busy, man.
Yeah, it's quite a day, to say the least.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Ask me the question again. Yeah. Somebody was speaking in my ear.
No worries at all. We understand you're really busy, so we're trying to make this quick. Amy Berman Jackson, the judge in your case, yes, allowing the jury to be so politically tainted and biased, that in and of itself, I mean, I just couldn't believe when I saw it, when I heard this jury makeup, and then of course the refusal to recuse, and so I mean, you're looking for a commutation, if not a pardon or commutation, right?
Yeah, well, let's start from the beginning. It begins much earlier than that. In the initial stage of the trial or my case, even before we went to the actual trial, the government made a motion to the judge that I was prevented from raising the misconduct of the special counsel, the FBI, the Department of Justice, or any member of Congress in my defense. Now, if you were unaware of any misconduct, why would you even raise that question? The answer is, of course, you wouldn't. That prohibition, that limitation on my defense, by the way, is highly unconstitutional. This is settled law. Under Kyles v. Whitley, a defendant is entitled to raise any reasonable defense they wish, and the legitimacy of the investigation or the charges is always a reasonable grounds for defense. Yet that was ignored. The judge also ruled that I could not raise the fact that Comey, Mueller, Brennan, Clapper, Hillary Clinton, Rod Rosenstein, Page, Strzok, so on, all had lied to Congress, all had lied about material things that of subsequence, of substance, and had never been prosecuted. Yet I was prosecuted for misstatements that I argued were immaterial. Under the false statement law, what I was charged under, your statement must not only be material, significant, covering up some larger crime, and you also have to have intent, motive. I had neither, but I also didn't have a fair trial, so unfortunately it didn't matter. And then lastly, my entire case was based on the underlying premise that the Russians hacked the DNC and gave the information to WikiLeaks. I was prohibited by the judge from using forensic evidence and expert testimony to disprove that very theory. In fact, no one hacked the DNC. There was no online hack. The information was most likely based on all of the evidence and the speed download speed times downloaded to a portable disk and taken out of the building. But I wasn't allowed to challenge any of those premises. So after indicting me for my involvement in Russian collusion, the government then said Stone's involvement with the Russians is irrelevant. I had no involvement with the Russians. They never proved in my trial that I had advanced knowledge of the source or the content of the WikiLeaks material. The one limited contact I had with the FLAC at WikiLeaks on Twitter direct message was innocuous, and I turned a copy of that over to the House Intelligence Committee at the time I testified. So after 2 years of telling the American people, CNN, MSNBC, you know, all the usual suspects, Stone will be indicted for treason. Stone will be indicted for espionage. Stone will be indicted for conspiracy against the United States, mail fraud, wire fraud, money laundering, and all these heinous crimes. They could find no evidence of any of them. So they fabricated these extraordinarily flimsy lied to Congress charges. And then they essentially threw in a witness tampering charge to make it sound all the more ominous, although the witness I was accused of having tampered with said that he was never threatened by me, that he never felt threatened by me. He wrote a letter to the judge that said the same thing. But let me tell you, in the Soviet style show trial, facts don't matter. In fact, facts are rarely allowed to be presented. My friend Tucker Carlson put it best. He said, your trial was over before it even began.
Exactly right. And I feel for you. I don't know what it is like to lose everything, to lose your house, to lose everything, as you said. And I pray and we pray individually and collectively for you. And I think most of our audience knows exactly what the story is here, that you just had a big target on your back and you were unfairly, well, you were persecuted, not prosecuted. This is a political persecution. My big thing now is, Roger, how can our audience, and there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands listening right now, of Christians who care, how can we best help you? Aside of where I should have worn my Roger Stone did nothing wrong shirt, but how can we best help you?
Well, you know, I want to address something you said. You're absolutely right. I have lost everything, but those are material things. I gained something far more important. I can't even begin to tell you how horrible this experience is, because you know, when you have to borrow money from your children to eat, you know, at 67 years old, that's just awful. My wife suffers from rheumatoid arthritis. She's virtually deaf. She really never recovered from the FBI storming our home at 6 o'clock in the morning to put on a show for the CNN cameras. You know, she wakes up looking down the barrel of two guns. Because she's deaf, she didn't know if this was a home invasion. She had no idea what was going on. And I was afraid, them not knowing that she was hard of hearing, that they would give her an order she wouldn't hear. They would think she was disobeying and shoot her. That's the first thing that ran through my mind. No American should have to put up with this kind of a treatment. But back in January, which is really when I kind of hit rock bottom, I was angry. I was frustrated. I was scared. I didn't know who would support my wife and family if I were incarcerated. I realized that it was a rigged game and that there was no way to win. I realized that if I had the greatest defense in the world, that there was just no way you were going to, you know, win in a totally hostile courtroom with a very biased judge. The judge, when my lawyers were speaking, the judge would roll her eyes and make faces at the jury. That's how obvious the whole thing was. So anyway, I had occasion. I have a really good friend, Reverend Randy Coggins, very dynamic young evangelist, great preacher, really a showman, and he does a great job. And he said, hey, Franklin Graham is going to be in Boca Raton, Florida. If I could get us a meeting, would you like to meet him? And I said, sure, because as a boy, when I was 12 years old, I had seen Billy Graham teach in preach at a tent revival in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's one of the most memorable experiences of my childhood because I'd never seen anything like it. He was charismatic. He was magnetic. The way he was lit, he was deeply tanned. He had this crowd crying and cheering and praying. It was really extraordinary. I'd never seen anything like it. So I said, sure, I'd love to meet Franklin Graham. And we went and met on his tour bus, gave us about 20 minutes just prior to his remarks. And I poured out my heart to him. I told him that I was in turmoil, that I didn't know where to turn, that I was scared, I was worried, I was overwhelmed. It wasn't that I'd lost my will to fight, but I was so completely outgunned. And I knew he was a friend of the president, a great supporter of the president. And I asked him, would he speak to the president on my behalf? And he said, well, I'll do what I can there, but there's something far more important here that you can do. And I said, what's that? And he said, he asked me, and I told him I was born a Catholic. I had all my sacraments in that church. I believe in God. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Trinity. He said, you need to be reborn. You need to confess your sins, and you need to agree to walk in the way of the Lord, to do your very best not to sin again. And he says, let me tell you, you're going to fail now and then because we're humans, we're mortals, only he is perfect. But if you recommit your life to Christ, if you will be reborn, I guarantee you, you'll get out of this. Things will change. As difficult as it may seem today, you will survive it because God will always protect you and he will never abandon you. And I thought about that for a little while. And then we went to the revival that he was holding. And he had reserved some seats for us. And it was a great show. There were two musical Christian rock acts that came out. And then Franklin Graham came out and preached. And he's not his father, but he's excellent anyway, not taking anything away from Franklin Graham. He gave an amazing speech, and it was only 30 minutes. But he came to the part in the speech where he said, anyone can be redeemed. It doesn't matter what your problem is, whether it's alcoholism or whether it's drug abuse or whether it's relationship problems or whether it's financial problems or illness or whatever it may be. God can help you. God will help you. But you have to be reborn. You have to reaffirm your faith. You have to confess your sins and agree to sin no more to the best of your ability. And then we came to the point in the program where he asked those who wanted to be saved to stand up and repeat after him. And I felt the calling, and I did. And I was not even the slightest bit embarrassed. There were 500 others like me in a crowd of about, 2,000, 2,500. And I must tell you, I felt immediately like a cement block had been removed from my chest, that I was not, I left there almost a different person. I had a hard time leaving because, frankly, at this point in my life, so many people recognized me and so many people wanted to tell me that they were praying for me and my family, and a lot of people wanted selfies and so on. I had to fight my way to the parking lot. But that's fine. And that was a Saturday. Monday morning, all the news about the incredible corruption of the jury forewoman hit the fan. We learned that she had lied on during jury selection, that she had posted things online attacking me personally, as well as the president, that she had concealed that during jury selection. She had had it on private settings during the trial, and then immediately when the trial was over, she deleted all that information to cover her trail. From that point on, the government's case began to crumble, and the grounds for appeal became very clear.
Wow.
So I guess what I want to say is to others is this really works. Reverend Graham was right. It doesn't matter what your problem is. That's why with 3 days before I have to report to a federal prison, I have every confidence that one of two things is going to happen. Either the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is going to rule to delay my incarceration, where I have a very strong case, but not necessarily the most favorable judges. And by the way, where the Bar Administration of Justice is opposing me after having first not opposed my initial motion, which was overruled by Judge Jackson, that on the basis of their own policies and my health and my age, you know, that the danger of COVID in prison is great and I should go to home confinement. The government has switched sides entirely, even though none of the facts have changed. So, but, you know, I'm not going to prejudge it. Perhaps the court will rule in my favor, or more likely that the president, based on many things he said last night, not things that he has said to me personally, because I have not spoken to him personally in over 2 years, friend of mine of 40 years, that he, in an act of mercy and justice, will issue a commutation. This will be God's work. I'm not praying to Donald Trump. I'm praying to God, as is my family, as are thousands of my supporters across the country. But I slept well last night, and I feel confident, serene. Today, I feel energized because I absolutely believe that Jesus Christ walks with me in this time of crisis and that this will all be fine very shortly. So what I want to do is tell other people, do what I have done, because it works. It's real. And that God is your salvation if you will recommit your life to him and be reborn.
It's amazing how God uses each one of us and puts us through our specific trials. And I believe that, you're going through this for a purpose, as we all go through our issues for a purpose. Roger, I know that you're a busy guy. You agreed, for 30 minutes and I think we're almost there. But you know, it's refreshing to hear that. And I know I spoke with, Ted Brewer and I spoke with Mankow. It's genuine. That heart for, that heart for God is genuine, and I'm glad to hear that. And I know that's going to be your saving grace, if you will. And I really believe that.
Look, the old Roger Stone right now would be thinking about revenge. The things they've done to me are so horrific and so awful you can't even imagine, and the arrogance of them and so on. But I now understand that vengeance is for God. God will deliver vengeance on them. So I don't have to worry about it. He knows what's right. He knows that I've been wrong. He knows that they are evil. I think even satanic. So, it also, the Bible teaches us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. I'm working very hard to do that. And I will, because God will make that judgment. But, I guess the most important thing about this is that it can happen to me. It can happen to any of you.
Yes.
That in a blink of an eye, you can lose your voice, your livelihood, every material thing you own, the ability to travel freely. But at the end of the day, I've known Donald Trump for 40 years. He is directed by God. He is a man who believes. You couldn't do that job if you weren't. He is a man of enormous fairness. He is a man of enormous compassion. And I think he has signaled in 100 different ways that he knows that I was pressured mercilessly to turn on him, to be a Judas. And I refused. And I could have eased the burden on myself very easily just by saying whatever it was they wanted me to say. I spoke to the president, 29, 30 times. They wanted me to dissemble about those calls. I refused. That's why I'm in this position today. But I think we'll know soon how this works. And then I want to get back to trying to save this country. I want to get back to writing and organizing and trying to save the United States, because I think this country is in deep trouble.
Amen.
And it's in deep trouble because we have wandered too far from God. Anyway,
Roger, we need you. We need your voice. We need that. We need you to be part of the fight. So this morning, President Trump spoke briefly before, I think it was this morning before leaving for Florida, saying that with respect to your situation. I'll be looking at, I think Roger Stone was very unfairly treated, as were many people. And he goes on to mention about the, about Comey and others. And I do believe in my heart of hearts that, the more people we can get to sign the petition, and the more people who can intervene on your behalf, as well as support you financially, the better off that we will all be. So I beg people, I really beg you from the bottom of my heart, if you're listening to this, please support Roger Stone. I mean, there's no better time, there's nothing else to do but support him. Go to, stonedefensefund.com, right, Roger?
Fund.com, stonedefensefund.com, where you can contribute. Or if you can't contribute, I understand, you can do two things. You can pray for me, and you can sign the petition at freerogerstone.com.
I've signed
both
that.
Yep. Of enormous help.
Yeah, I've signed the petition. Eric the Tech has. My wife has. I'm calling my neighbors and everyone I know to sign that petition. And we will be in prayer for you. And whatever we can do, Roger, we'll be following this very, very closely. You've got my prayers. I'll be on my knees tonight, praying for, praying to have you back, praying that you're going to be guiding us to victory here in November. And thank you. God bless you, my friend.
Let's make this agreement. If things go well, as I believe they will, because I have faith, I really look forward to coming back and talking with you again.
You have an open invitation, and I appreciate you. Give my best to your wife and your family, and God bless you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You know, I could have had him on for the few more minutes that we're on there. 3 minutes or so. I don't know whether you heard it. There's a lot of stuff going on in this house. I don't know what to tell you. But when I say that we are all Roger Stone, Eric the Tech and I were talking about this, talking about all the situations. I talked to Ted Brewer. I talked to people that, and by the way, I do know the backstory about that witness. You've got no idea. I'm not going to speak about it, but you just have no idea. Remember the witness who tampering? I know that person's in Buffalo. Look, the longer I've been in this, the more I realize how screwed up things are. Do me a favor. Go to freerogerstone.com and please, the least you can do is sign the petition. Support him financially. You might say, well, he's got a ton of money. I need my... You don't know. You just have no idea, or maybe you do, how much it costs to fight a legal battle. How devastating. Now, admittedly, I never had the FBI come into my house at 6 in the morning and hold, you know, guns on my wife and me and have, you know, amphibious craft and a helicopter. But isn't that something? That tells you something about the political persecution. And I'll tell you this, and Coach Dave will tell you this, Coach Dave Live. You and I, we're in this fight. And you know what? We can win on the numbers if we just show up, if we do the things that we need to do. I want to thank Manco, thank you. I want to thank Ted Brewer, thank you, healthmasters.com. And Roger, I want to thank you as well. Thank you for being a patriot. You don't, folks, you don't know Roger Stone. You might think you know because you heard, read, whatever. What he said was true. It's abso-flippin-lutely true. You want to see a guy? I've got a video. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to release it. I have a video of Roger Stone. This week, talking about exactly what he was talking about. Just a short video, a minute and a half, but saying, hey, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'll win this. I don't know what to say, except I'm spent. I don't know about you. Up next, Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, I want to just say, God bless each and every one of you, and thank you so much for your support, and thank you for listening. Thank you. I'm going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. This is the Hagmann Report. Welcome back, Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. Now, you know that the deep state, the authoritarian state, whatever you want to call it, the permanent bureaucracy, they're out to silence each and every one of us. And with me right now is Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, and I'm telling you, this is what you better, with 118 days left to the election, and I believe certain violence, regardless, one thing that you do have control over is your own physical health. When I say that, I mean, hey, you know what? You can be at your optimum operating capacity. You go to healthmasters.com. You order your ultimate multiple, your daily multiple vitamin, nutritional supplement, that is. That's the ultimate multiple. Get your B, your C. You want to fight off, be able to fight off anything that comes at you, and you want to feel your best because you are going to need it. And it's not only physically important, but for your mental health as well, in my personal opinion. This affects me greatly, positively, greatly. Healthmasters.com. That is healthmasters.com. And while you're there, certainly tune into the Ted and Austin Brower show. Now, Ted, I want to welcome you to the show. And we're gonna, just, folks, make sure you get your, either after the show or during the show, you can certainly click onto the Health Masters website and order your nutritional supplements. I would urge you to do that ASAP. And I mean now. Excellent C, by the way, vitamin C with antioxidants. The magnesium brain food. Man, do I need that. And, of course, the healthy immune kit. So, please, order it right now. Right now. By the way, one of the best products on the planet is the sublingual B12. I'm going to tell you, it's like rocket fuel. It's like rocket fuel. So, there it is, healthmasters.com. And while you're there, you can tune into the Ted and Austin Brower's show. It's on the upper right-hand corner. But, Ted, I'm going to welcome you, and I want to start off by saying, am I allowed to say what you were doing earlier this week? Or would I?
Anything you want to say, Doug. It's your show, buddy. I'll go with the flow.
All right. You were with some people, right? I can talk about that, who you were with, or no?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's interesting because, first of all, I want to tell everyone, I don't care whether you like the guy, you hate the guy, you have no opinion of the guy. We are all Roger Stone, period, end of story. We're all Roger Stone. And Roger Stone right now is facing having to report to prison in 4 days. 4 days. Okay, so he was railroaded, in my view. He was treated unfairly. He was, I mean, you know the story, the jury. I mean, how bad does it have to be before somebody says, stop it? Anyway, Ted was with Mr. Stone and Mankow, and yeah, I got to talk with him a little bit. So, Ted, wherever you want to start, go ahead.
Well, you know, I know Roger now. I spent 4 hours with him on Wednesday.
Right.
And Mankow was coming down on vacation from Chicago, and he invited me to go down to Fort Lauderdale. And I said, I'd love to come down there and see you because, you know, we had seen him last year up in Chicago, and it's a lot closer to go to Fort Lauderdale than to Chicago. And so we went ahead and we drove down to see him. And then when we got down there, he goes, well, Ted, he goes, I don't want to say this basically, you know, because I wasn't sure if I could do it, but I'm having lunch with Roger on Wednesday, and would you like to join us? And I said, yeah. And he goes, now he's under house arrest, so we have to go to his apartment. And I said, all right. And so then he said, we need to bring him some sandwiches because he's basically broke. And I'm like, all right. And so we went to the sandwich shop, and so Mancalf got his credit card out to pay for the sandwiches. And I said, absolutely not. I said, I'll take care of the sandwiches. And it was a real nice deli, real nice sandwich shop. And so I bought all the sandwiches for him. And then we went to his house. And I'm telling you kind of micro stuff because I can't tell you all of the details because some of the stuff was told to me in confidence. Now, what happens when I got there, he's in a little 1,200 square foot apartment. And the big home that he had to sell because he had to pay his legal fees.
Yep.
And, he had, when he filed his appeal, the federal government put 800 attorneys against him on the appeal. Now, that is not a sanguine stretch. This is coming from Mr. Stone. 800 attorneys were assigned to his appeal to stop it. Now, I've never heard of such stuff. Now, this is on top of the fact that he was arrested with CNN present at middle of the night with 38 guys armed and with machine guns and body armor, including frogmen.
Yep.
In case he decided to flee via the canal next to his house. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And yep. This is a 67-year-old guy who basically is in bad health. And his wife is deaf. She was dragged out in a doggone T-shirt with no shoes on in the middle of the night. Scared half to death. And this is how he was treated because he misspoke in a congressional hearing.
Happened on January 25th of 2019. Just to be clear, there were on record now 29 FBI agents, not including the amphibious and the helicopter, as well as you mentioned, the tip off to CNN, which that in and of itself is a bunch of crap. Having been with raids on by law enforcement, that's unheard of. But go ahead, sir.
Well, the 38 number I have is what I've read online. Roger did not tell me that. And so here's the deal. Here's this old guy who's 67, dragged out of his house, put into shackles, and dragged off and charged with basically whatever he was charged with, which is a bogus charge. And we end up in a situation now, a year and a half later, he's going to report to prison next week. I mean, if Trump doesn't commute or basically even pardon him. And, let me say something very quickly here. And this is basically my opinion. All right. There's forces inside of the White House that are trying to stop Donald Trump from pardoning Roger Stone. Now, at a later date, I'll discuss that with you guys more in detail. But the crazy part about it is the guy is about to go to jail while Hillary Clinton walks free, why Bill Clinton walks free, while Obama walks free, and the two of the key players in getting Trump elected were Julian Assange, and he's still rotting in prison, and now they're trying to put Roger Stone in prison. And I personally believe that if Donald Trump were to allow Roger Stone to help him with a campaign for 2020, that he would win. Because Roger Stone is that connected as an insider. Now, let me share a few other things with you very quickly. When I was upstairs in Roger Stone's tiny little living room, I videotaped him with his permission of him doing his testimonial of conversion to Jesus Christ back in January, and through Franklin Graham. And because a lot of people have a problem with Roger Stone because of his past and the things that he was involved in. Well, I did a lot of things in my past before I became saved that I simply am not proud of. But, when we are born again and we become a new creature in Christ, that old past is behind us. And that's one of the hardest things that people have, especially Christians, to forget the old past and forgive the old past and not remember the old past because God doesn't remember it anymore. He said on the video that I was watching that he'd done a lot of things in his past that he was ashamed of, that he wished he had never done. And so we've got to start anew and afresh with him. So I watched him on the video give his testimonial about Franklin Graham. Very sincere. And I must say he's very scared. Now, I'm going to be very clear with you guys. He's very scared when you get him off camera about going to prison. He doesn't think he'll survive the ordeal in Georgia. And he's probably right.
I agree.
And the sad part about, you know, and the sad part, Doug, is this, you know, and I, that's why I text you right after. I mean, I text you while I was there with Stone, and I said, right. Doug, can you please put, you know, Roger Stone on the show? Because we right now, we're all Roger Stone. And it's true, we are. I mean, alternative media right now is being hit like never before because they don't want a voice out there telling the truth. They don't want that. Now, why has Trump, in fact, we were praying this morning about all of this stuff, and Sharon says, do you think that Trump can pardon Roger Stone? And I said, the word's not can, the word is will. Will Trump pardon Roger Stone? And Mr. Trump, I know you watch a lot of these broadcasts, Mr. President. I know you do. And I hope you're watching me right now. Please pardon Roger Stone. He doesn't deserve to go to prison like this. I mean, we've got people that are rapists and killers and arsonists and all kinds of other crazy people that have been let out of prison early because of COVID. I mean, we've seen that already all over the United States. And if you want to use that as an excuse for Mr. Stone to pardon him, whatever the excuse needs to be, just pardon him, man.
If not, commute and allow him to prove his innocence. Yes.
That's exactly right. And the same thing with Julian Assange. Please get him out of jail if you can, out of England. I mean, we don't have to do this. We don't have to put people in the prison for telling the truth. I mean, this is a republic. This is the United States of America. You have the ability. Now, for some reason, you won't get rid of Fauci. I don't understand that. And you won't get rid of a lot of these other people that disagree with you in your own White House. I don't understand that. But, you know, you have the ability to pardon Roger Stone, and I really think he can help you on the election campaign for 2020 if you really want to win the second term in the White House, which I don't know if you do or not. After what the media has put you through for the past 4 years, quite frankly, I don't think anybody would blame you if you decided just to return back to your normal life. But that's between you and your normal life. But don't put Roger in prison. You have the ability to stop that. So at this point, it becomes your choice. It becomes your decision to do this or not to do this. Your reelection, Mr. Trump, will not be based upon whether or not you commute or pardon Roger Stone. There's so many other things that the media has hit you with. The patriot community, the Christian community will look at this as an act of you being extremely gracious and forgiveness for something that was basically a hoax with this Mueller investigation from the very beginning. So please do this for your 40-year friend, Roger Stone. It's very important that we at this point, Mr. President, if you want to support the patriot community, that we all come together in unison and we come galvanized behind a single purpose and a single agenda. Very, very important. So, again, I ask you, Mr. President, please, from the bottom of my heart, I ask you, commute or pardon Mr. Stone so he does not have to report to prison next week. This is going to be a nightmare for a guy who's 67 years of age. He's on all kinds of medications. He has all kinds of health issues. And I actually sat there, Doug, with him. And because, you know, Franklin Graham sent him a Bible. And then at that point, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of interaction with Mr. Graham that I know of or Roger Stone's talked about. So what I did, I shared a bunch of scripture with Roger on Wednesday. Now, this isn't me telling you that I heard that somebody shared scripture with Roger Stone.
Yeah, this is you doing
it. This is Ted telling you guys. I mean, doing it. I shared scripture. I gave him like 6 or 8 different Bible verses.
Right.
And because he's very angry. He's very angry what's happened to him, and he's very scared.
Oh, I don't blame him.
And he can't understand it. No, me neither. I even shared the verses out of Hebrews about, you know, where God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And how we have to walk in love and we have to support one another as Christians. And he was extremely open. He kept saying to his head guy there, his personal secretary who was working for him, he says, please write the scripture down, write the scripture down, write the, that's what he said over and over again, get the scripture, get the scripture. So I ended up sharing like 6 scriptures with him. And he was very responsive to what the Bible said, both Old and New Testament. I primarily tried to stay in the Gospels and the New Testament. So guys, you know, he's a baby Christian. And, you know, as baby Christians, we all have to learn what to do and what not to do. Mm-hmm. So pray for Roger Stone. Pray for the president of the United States, the commander in chief, to say, you know what? It's enough. It's just enough now. He's completely broke. He's living in a little 1,200 square foot apartment, little tiny living room, little tiny kitchen downstairs with a set of stairs that go up to a little tiny little area he uses for his office, one little bedroom. He's had to sell everything he owns except for his wife's wedding ring and his wedding ring. He said he won't sell those, but He said he even had Sellers watch, for heaven's sakes. I mean, he basically has his hats, I guess, and he has all kinds of pictures and memorabilia of his years in the politics up on his wall. And I've got a videotape, like I said, you, Doug, you could post with him giving his testimonial if you'd like, because he told me to do whatever I wanted to do with that. He was very gracious to me. Very, very nice. So we all at this point need to realize this could be Doug. Doug could say something. They could say, we're going to file charges against you, Doug. But I didn't say anything wrong. It doesn't matter. If they sick 800 attorneys on you, you have no idea what damage one or two attorneys can do, much less 800. Well, I mean, I've never heard of the government coming after somebody like this.
No, no. And I want to tell you this. I mean, this is how we reportedly got in the, myself, Eric the Tech, but specifically me, got in the crosshairs of the Mueller investigation is by, I was communicating with Roger. All right. Now I know Roger. During the InfoWars, when I was co-hosting with him. So we would communicate back and forth. And it was at that time, it was right around that time when the surveillance, the Mueller surveillance kind of happened. And I had talked to Roger in, I consider him a friend. Okay. So I talked to him in Washington, D.C. I talked to him, when he was, in Florida, when he was co-hosting with, InfoWars. But the bottom line is, just by mere talking with him, this got supposed alert. This was the reported jumpstart to my, you know, the Mueller investigation kind of overlapping into me. And people don't know this. I mean, so my attorney at the time said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but you better preserve all of your communications. And I was like, why? What did I do? And the answer was, you don't have to do anything. But to see the devastation, the economic devastation that something like this causes, the emotional turmoil that this causes. And you know what really pisses me off, Ted, is that people, even on the right, don't give a damn about what the hell they're doing. And I take this really personally. And I would urge everyone out there, too, to take it personally, to understand that you, who are laughing right now or saying, well, it doesn't bother, it doesn't, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It will affect you. Go ahead, Ted.
You know, Doug, I'm just trying to maintain my composure and not start yelling personally. Because, I mean, we've got about 3% of the population. Those 3% listen to my show and your show. And we're all screaming and pulling our hair out going, what the H-E devil sticks is going on? Why won't anybody wake up? Why does everybody have to wear a mask? Why are we doing all of this stupid crap? And the problem that we have is that we're basically being subjected to a mass psychological operation. Let's talk about this for 1 second. And Roger Stone is just one of the key things about this. You know, the amazing Polly the other day did a video, and I wrote a few notes on what she said, and she's absolutely right about this.
I saw that, by the way. You got the floor, by the way. I saw that video. It was a great video. Go ahead.
The worldwide population is being tortured in a deep state psychop. Now, here's the thing. You know, this is absolutely crazy what they're doing to us. The CIA has been trained to use debility, dependency, and dread, according to their 1983 Human Resource Exploitation Training Manual. They've admitted to this. Many psychologists consider the threat of inducing debility to be more effective than debility itself. And then you get the Defense Department involved in it. Number one, isolation. We see this with quarantine and social distancing and the prohibition of crowds and large gatherings. The monopolization of perception. Corporate mainstream media has monopolized all pop culture, and those so-called media who challenge the mainstream narrative are censored. I've been censored. I was taken off of YouTube 2.5 years ago. Also listed as restricted movement and monotonous food. This is right from the CIA manual. Number three, induced debilitation and exhaustion, gym closures, church closures, losing your job, school closings, wearing masks all day long, increased stress and provokes exhaustion and debilitation, and O2 levels being reduced. Number four, threats. We are threatened that our own children may be taken away from our homes and that experimental forced vaccines are coming and we will be forced to take them. We are told that more will die if we restart America, which is a total lie, and we are threatened with tracking chips, contact tracing, and the new normal. Then we're given occasional indulgences. Here we find fluctuations of interrogators' attitudes such as BLM protests are good, Trump rallies are bad, Walmart is okay, mom-and-pop businesses are not. The torturer will provide occasional indulgences such as rewards for partial compliance. If you wear a mask, someday we can return to normal. Number six, demonstrating omnipotence and omniscience. Shutting down the entire global economy was a pretty good demonstration of omnipotence. Huge fines and jail of people not wearing a mask. Guys, this is from Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates. Now, I'm going to add one more from the international banking cartels. Nobody has that kind of power except for the international banks who control the currency flow. They're it. The international bankers run the planet. And the only countries that don't have international banks, such as Syria and Iran and North Korea, are subjected to never-ending onslaught of bad media and bad press or absolute invasion. This is where we are right now. We've got a group of Kabbalists, Luciferians, people who worship Satan at the highest levels running the planet. And it says in the Bible that the God of this age has blinded the hearts and the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot believe and see the truth. You talk to these people who've been trained in this communist groupthink from birth to adulthood, and nobody knows that when you're 0 to about 7 years of age, you're in a dream state. You're in a theta brainwave state, and you have no filtration system. And everything that they say to you, you believe. If you say you could be a man or you can be a woman or you could be a sponge or you can be a caterpillar today, that four-year-old believes it. They think it's okay. Years ago, let me give you a perfect example. Like my youngest daughter was like 3 or 4, and we were messing around with playing with her some, and we've got a in our bedroom, we've got a mirror that has a door on it. And it's like a dressing, you know, to get dressed if you go out for dinner or whatever, you can look at yourself in a full length mirror. And I remember it looks like a cabinet. And one day she goes, Daddy, is that the wardrobe going to Narnia? She's like 3 or 4 years old. She loved that movie from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I said, what do you think? She goes, yes, that's the Narnia. And I said, well, do you want me to open the wardrobe and show you? She goes, no, stop, Daddy, it's cold over there. It's snowing. Let me run to my room and get my jacket first, then we can go in. She really believed that, Doug, and she had convinced herself that was the wardrobe from the movie Narnia. And I thought to myself, whoa, that's that theta brainwave state. And Savannah's got a very high IQ. She's got a genius level IQ. But her mind is so vulnerable at that age, when she was little like that, that she had no filter. So when you take a child who basically has no filtration and you tell them that you could be a boy or a girl today, they believe you. You say, well, there's a transgender. They're a good person. They believe you. You can have an adult man touch you. It's okay because pedophilia is good. They go, okay, I understand now. You told me because I have no filter. And so they can put all these manners of perversions on them that Obama did in his White House, telling little children that men could use the bathroom with little girls. Gosh, he's got a special place in hell. I mean, that guy, everybody in Chicago who knew him, not everybody, but most of the people in Chicago who knew him claimed that he used to visit the bathhouses as a homosexual in Washington, in Chicago. And then Joan Rivers said shortly before she died that he was a homosexual, a gay guy, and his wife was a tranny, and she was dead just a few months later. He said, well, do you believe all that, Ted? You know, I've never known Joan Rivers to lie. Why would she lie? So here we have the situation that when you tell these young children, Doug, that it's okay, they're going to believe you. And here we have this communist group thing now from these people that were raised like this for like 20 or 30 years now, who don't have any idea of the history of the United States, and they don't believe that this is bad. They believe this is good because they believe that communism and socialism is great because everybody gets free everything. Well, who's going to pay for the free stuff? And that's the problem we have. Here's some more of these things. Degradation from being called non-essential or a science denier, being treated as ignorant fools, called names by celebrities for not wearing a mask, enforcing trivial demands. Final step develops habits of compliance, enforcement, new rules, standing 6 feet apart, 666, following arrows, following dots, and showing support for violent Black Lives Matter protests. I mean, guys, this is where we find our country right now. We've got now a new study that just came out and said the CDC admits that the COVID virus will test positive if you've contracted the common cold. This stuff is mutated now to guess it has such a low death rate, but it doesn't make a difference. They won't let it go because of Fauci. Like I said, I don't know why Trump hasn't fired Fauci. I mean, I don't understand any of this stuff. You know, basically we've been scammed into believing this stuff. You know, here's another really interesting article by Baldwin. He goes, the propaganda about COVID, he calls it COVID-1984, is the biggest single hoax in history. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. When this stuff was developed in China, either through viral shedding or through vaccines or through just the release of a bioweapon, a lot of people died in China. I have friends over there who basically saw that, who saw what happened in China. But, you know, when it got to this point to our country, because I believe it was genome specific, it started to peter out really, really fast and stop. And now we have people being tested and being positive for coronavirus. If they've ever had a cold, well, that will be all of us. I mean, this is crazy. So Chuck goes on to say, the propaganda about the COVID-1984 is the biggest single hoax in history. Corona poses zero threat to 99.9% of the population. Masks are a joke. Social distancing is a joke. Business closures are a joke. Church closures are a joke. Theater closures are a joke. Sporting cancellations are a joke. All of the corona-based television commercials are a joke. All of the fear-mongering by radio disc jockeys and television news broadcasters is a joke. And all of the theatrical grandstanding of politicians on Capitol Hill is a joke. Of course, it's not a joke in which it'd be funny, but the fact that the United States is so gullible. The other day, when I went down to visit Roger and Mancow, I was in this hotel. And I'd got a really lousy night's sleep on Tuesday night. And so what I did is I went down to the coffee place because the restaurants were all closed because of the virus. And they had a little coffee bar. And I walked downstairs and I said, I need a cup of coffee today. And they said, where's your mask? And I said, I just want a cup of coffee. And now years ago, I had some heart issues many years ago. So I will not reduce O2 levels and wear a mask. I won't do it. And I said to him, I said, I've had heart issues. And I said, I won't basically wear a mask and reduce O2 levels. I said, you're not going to force me to commit suicide and induce a heart attack by lowering my O2 levels. I said, then you know what they said to me, Doug? They said, oh, don't worry about that. If you have a heart attack, we'll call an ambulance. I kid you not. I kid you not. In other words, the feminazi mask nightmare Gestapo woman said, you will wear that mask. Whether you have a heart attack or not, we don't care. I'm paranoid. This is metaphoric. This is what she meant to me. And if you die or you fall on the floor, collapse, we will call you an ambulance. And I said, you will not. I looked at her, I said, you don't have the right to force me to do something against HIPAA laws. I've already told you my heart issue that I had years ago. And I said, you will not force me to wear a mask. I almost called her a feminazi.
Did you get your cup of coffee? Yeah. I gotta know.
Well, you know what's so funny? So then, now this goes on for like 4 minutes, and the girl won't give me my coffee because I don't have a mask on. This is the irony. Finally, I said to her, I said, if you just give me the coffee that you've already poured, I will leave, but I'm not wearing your mask. Well, you have to wear the mask. And I said, no, I don't. I won't. How about that? And she goes, I thought she was going to do a zig heil, you know. And I thought, God, this woman's a nightmare. So I go up to the room, got my coffee, and I'm pissed. That was Wednesday's absolutely. Show. If you want to hear a pissed off Ted Brower, first thing I did, I started off the show and I said, I am not in a gaming mood. Now, that's a line from the Avengers movie when Thor's arguing with Loki and Loki tells Thor a joke and Thor looks at Loki and says, I am not in a gaming mood. In other words, this isn't fun and games right now for me. I'm pissed. I said, so I told my audience, I said, just want you to know, I am not in a gaming mood. I just had to deal with a feminazi, whatever I said, something like that. And so if you want to hear that show on Wednesday, you can hear it. Pretty mad. And so I was ranting, raving that whole show about what happened in the lobby. But before I even got upstairs, this is the craziest part. By the time I got upstairs and I sat down to prep for my show, which was at 10 o'clock, my telephone rings in the room and it's the feminazi calling me, apologizing.
Really?
Because I told her to call the mayor. Oh, yes. He actually apologized. He goes, I would apologize to you. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you're apologizing. And it's because what had happened is I'm sure she looked up my status with the hotel chain that I was in. And I'm labeled as what's called a titanium member, which means I had 75 stays last year because I travel a lot with the show. And so she realized that I wasn't some guy who just stopped off the road to get a hotel room for the night, that I was as high a level as you could get with this hotel chain. And she probably thought, oh crap, this guy's going to get pissed and write a letter, which I would have had she not apologized. And then she goes, and by the way, tomorrow morning, just call us up and we'll bring you a cup of coffee to your room so we don't have a repeat of today. We'll be happy to do that. No room charges, no tax. We'll bring you a cup of coffee. I looked at her, I said, okay, I'll do that for you. So next morning, sure enough, I called up and I thought, well, see, what's she going to do? So sure enough, they literally had a cup of coffee. Remember that movie, Mr. Deeds with the butler? Did you ever see that movie, Doug?
A long time ago, yeah.
Remember when the butler just all of a sudden he's talking and all of a sudden the butler's just there.
Yeah.
Like instantaneously. It was like, I called for the coffee and the doorbell like rings, ding, ding, here's coffee. And I started laughing. I said, man, that was fast. And he goes, well, we want to make sure we take care of you. I'm like, okay, whatever. And now I don't drink coffee every day. I don't do that. I do drink it occasionally. And I've told you guys that. So don't be trying to get me to adjust my halo, because every once in a while, okay, I'm going to say something else. Every once in a while, I may have a glass of wine too. Oh my God, he has wine. No, maybe once a year. I had a glass of wine with Man Cow on Tuesday or Wednesday night, and it was about that much wine because I don't care for wine. Okay. And every once in a while, if you see me in a restaurant and I drink a beer, if you want to go berserk and fall on the floor, kicking and screaming, having a fit, just go ahead and do it, but wait until I leave. I will every once in a while have a beer. That happens like once every year. I'll have a beer because what I don't want to be is this. Because I'm a Christian. You guys know me. I am a sold out child of God. I love Jesus with all of my heart. My heart beats for Christ and for God Almighty and for the great I am. You guys know that. I've done shows with you on the blood of Christ.
Yep.
But what I'm not is I am not sanctimonious. I am not. I'm not judgmental. I am not. I'm not like that. If you want to have a beer and you're at dinner with me, you think I care? I don't care. I'm not gonna drink it if I don't want one, but if I want one, I'll have a beer.
There are enough Christians out there that act as prosecutors. You know, Ted, I'm so sick and tired of people.
I know I'm gonna get letters from what I just said. I got
that. Of course.
That, okay. So what? So if you want to write a letter that Ted Brewer had a beer one time, and oh, by the way, why don't you put on there that last week I had a chocolate chip cookie too from the organic health food store. I'm okay with that too. Put down the organic cookie. Okay, so Ted had an organic cookie and he had a cup of coffee. All right. And oh, don't forget, he had a quarter of a glass of wine. And a year ago when he was visiting Man Cow in Chicago, he had a beer at dinner and let Sharon drive home. Go ahead and put that down too. And you can take this little interview that we're doing right now and you can cut it up in little segments and you can post it. I don't care, because guys, the Bible doesn't forbid drinking. It forbids drunkenness. I don't get drunk ever. I've only been drunk a couple times in my life, and that was pre-Christian days.
Sure.
But that same Christian, now listen to me for a second. I've gotten kind of irritated here for a second. That same Christian will go out and take NyQuil, which is loaded with Tylenol and ethanol, which is basically liquor, and suck it down when they have a head cold and think nothing of it. Now, let me give you a little
medicinal.
Heads up on that.
Sorry.
That NyQuil has a big warning label on it that says, by the way, don't take too much of this stuff. It'll like kill your liver. Okay. Because of the combination of acetaminophen and alcohol, which is extremely poisonous. But a lot of Christians will do that. Well, I'm just going to take some NyQuil. Well, why don't you just take a shot of Jack Daniels with some honey as a toddy if you have to sleep, unless you have a problem with alcoholism. If you've got a problem with alcoholism, get that crap out of your house. Okay? But just think about the fact that you're dumping Tylenol in with that alcohol. That's bad. So I'm just – anyhow, that's just a sidebar. But, guys, you know, here's the thing. You know, we all are in a situation where we've got to take a stand. And I took my stand with the mask. I'll also take my stand, oh, yeah, and I will too, with this vaccine.
Before you move on from the mask, and I know you got a lot of stuff to get into. I received a call from a medical doctor who is in this area, who will be on my show. And she said, I'm done. I'm done with this crap. And she's a very well respected medical doctor. I can't name any names, but she said, you know, this is all a bunch of crap. This is not about keeping people, secure and safe. The masks don't do anything. She said, she went into Walmart and they kicked her out. And she said, you know what? I'm going to tell everyone I know. And she's got some pull in this area. That this is a bunch of, you know, BS and it's all about control. I'm not a sheep. But, you know, here's my question, Ted. You mentioned masks. Why aren't more Christians, why aren't more conservatives doing what you did? Why aren't they doing what you did, what this other woman did, what I do? I'm not wearing a mask. Yeah, bend over, you know?
It's because of compliance, Doug. I mean, this isn't something that was done to us in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
This has been done slowly to us.
Yeah,
okay. It started in the '50s with Lyndon Johnson in the Johnson Amendment with the 501(c) corporations coming into the churches and turning the pastors in the pulpit, the pansies in the pulpit who basically won't do anything to disrupt their 501(c) status. Many of whom have private jets in multiple mansions around the world. Okay. Just thought I'd mention that. And many of these same organizations and corporations that are quote churches have received tens of millions of dollars in aggregate from this payroll protection program. So whether or not they're having church or not, that make any difference. They got plenty of money to cover all the overhead. And the problem that we have is that when you allow the government to come in and tell you what you can and can't say on Sunday morning based upon your political views, if you're a Christian and you're a patriot and you want to talk about something that a politician does, now you can't do it. That's yeah. not how this country was founded in 1776. It was the black robe clergy. That, because remember, King George owned the press.
Yeah.
He owned the press back in the 1700s. I mean, he was a real nightmare, all right? And the black robe clergy got up every Sunday morning. A lot of it was fought over, by the way, colonial script, because they wanted us to be indebted to their banking cartel Rothschild slave masters. And what ended up happening is the United States population said, basically, excuse my vernacular because I'm in a kind of a not gaming mood today, piss on it. We're done. We're finished with this stuff, all right? And so you say, well, God, you said a bad word. I did. I apologize for that bad word, but I still meant it, if that makes any sense. And so the colonials said that we've had enough.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow these redcoats to come in here and do this and force quarter and all the other stuff they did as far as living with them in their houses and all the other stuff they forced. So we're going to rebel. And because the Rothschild banking cartel was so busy fighting the Napoleonic Wars at that point, they basically couldn't intervene. They were spread too thin, so to speak. And so we won. But then, of course, in 1812, they came back in and attacked the War of 1812. And the only reason we stopped the War of 1812 is we agreed to put in a Rothschild-controlled central bank that 20 years later, probably the greatest president we've ever had, Andrew Jackson. I'll get letters on that one, too, but I don't care. First president, only president to pay off the national debt. He basically said, we're going to get rid of this den of vipers, these thieves, and throw them out. And, you know, of course, then they tried to kill him several times. And then, of course, Lincoln was also a money martyr because he wanted to keep basically his currency going and not bring the Rothschilds back in, who had funded both sides, by the way, of the Civil War. Always remember that. See, you got to take it back to where it goes back to. The only people that have enough power to shut the planet down are going to be the bankers. That's it. Because of the reserve currency status of the dollar. And I covered this with you guys a month ago, last time I was on,
yep.
is that, you know, if they shut down demand, they shut down inflation because people don't buy anything because they're broker, they don't have a job. And so they can increase the M1 money supply as much as they want and not cause hyperinflation. However, it's starting to have effect because gold is now, as of today and last night, bumped over $1,800 an ounce, which is the highest it's been since 2011. So it could go much, much higher. If they stop doing naked shorts on gold and silver, gold will be $5,000-$10,000 an ounce right now, and silver will be several hundred dollars an ounce. That's just the facts as far as historical values of gold based upon M1 money supply. Just thought I'd mention that one too. But they don't want to do that because the same cartel that does this runs naked shorts on gold every day. In other words, they sell a million or 10 million or whatever it takes, ounces of gold on the COMEX to force the price down with no bottom on their naked short, and it forces the price down. And then what they do, they come back in, they settle up the contracts, not in gold, because they don't have the gold. They
right.
settle it up in their fiat currency. That's the problem we have right now. If they let that thing go like it needs to, it'd be through the roof right now, because everybody knows what's coming. It's called Weimar. They're doing everything they can to stop that. And then you get people like this blithering idiot communist Ilhan Omar, who calls for dismantling of the – this girl's from Somalia. Now, remember, the Somalians – I'm not picking on all Somalians, but they have an average IQ of 60. Now, you say, well, just you can look it up. I'm not trying to make it up, and I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying – I'm not saying she has an IQ of 60. But when you have an IQ of 60, you're not real bright. Somalians have an average IQ of 60, and she wants to complete dismantling of the U.S. economy and the political systems. Well, I've got something to say to you, Representative Omar. Why don't you just get the HE double sticks out of our country and go back to Somalia?
There you go.
If you want to dismantle, why don't you go back to that hellhole you came from, you crawled out of? If you want to dismantle our country, who do you think you are? Weirdo? You've been married to your brother, had all these multiple marriages and divorces and marrying the same people over again. Well, you think you're some kind of example to the rest of us? Just because you were in a primarily a Muslim district up there in Minnesota, and you got put into office, do you think you got the authority to tell anybody what to do in this country? And then in the other one the other day, who's had her legs shot off, and I feel sorry for her about that.
Oh, yeah.
She makes the comment that Donald Trump, basically at Mount Rushmore, the other communist, she's a communist, says, why in the world is Donald Trump talking about the Confederacy and trying to talk about all these traitors from the Confederacy? She said that.
Duckworth is her name, Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now she's done. She's done. She'll never be vice president because of that one stupid comment.
Well,
you think anybody in the South will vote for her saying the Confederacy were all traitors? Oh, what a mess. What a mess, Doug.
Yeah, it is a mess. Healthmasters.com, by the way. If you want to have the energy, like Ted and I do, to feel, to have the energy to fight back. Healthmasters.com. 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 Go there today. Go there tonight. Go there tomorrow. Go there this weekend and get healthy. Healthmasters.com. And I'll tell you what. Yeah, while you're there, you can listen to Wednesday's show from Ted and Austin Brower. He wasn't having any of it. He wasn't having any of it. So it's a good thing. Healthmasters.com, by the way. Good place to get some
and thank you, Doug. I actually, HR5 is a coupon code.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you. I wasn't sure.
You know, and so, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Dr. Brownstein basically got eviscerated by the FCC and the FDA and everybody else because he was talking about using oxidative therapy and techniques and nutritional supplementation in order to take care of people that had coronavirus. In other words, take vitamin C. All right. You take it orally and intravenously. Potassium iodide, which really helps the thyroid to stay strong. And, you know, and basically zinc, you know, and just stay healthy in D3, K2. And he basically got sanctioned by saying this stuff. Well, now, so he had enough of us. He did a clinical study that's called A Novel Approach to Treating COVID Using Nutritional and Oxidative Therapies and had it published. So now he can quote back to the Science, Public Health Policy and the Law, Volume 2-4-22, July 2020, Clinical and Translational Research. Guys, listen to me. I don't know what the deal is here as far as them making something that has a low death rate such a nice national nightmare and shutting the whole thing down, except for what I've told you as far as shutting down the economies and closing down the businesses and basically bringing us all into these transnational corporations, the only people left standing, and basically reducing demand so they don't have hyperinflation, which is what they're doing. But I also know this. When this crap came out of China, it was very, very real. I covered that back in February with you guys on the Hagman show and on January. And I'm saying this to you right now. Now they're saying we're going to have a COVID-2, another whole thing that's going to run through the country. Now, here's the problem I have with this. There are like 10 or 12 or 15 different COVID viruses that are supposedly coming from this Wuhan lab, whatever. But the point is, we've got to.
All right. You're frozen up there, brother. I'm going to talk.
Also.
There we go. Okay. You were frozen up momentarily.
Okay. We have to make sure if our immune systems are strong that we have the supplements available, like you said at the beginning of the show. And that's why the HR5 coupon's active. You know, they're on sale.
Good.
You know,
good.
All the supplements that you need. And now we've got the Hagman Brower Immune System Protocol. That's the one I recommend that you get. The other day, when I went to Miami, to Fort Lauderdale, I started getting a real bad sore throat, you know, on Tuesday night because I didn't sleep well. So the next morning I got up and I took this protocol, including the astragalus, and I still had a sore throat. About 4 hours later, I took the protocol again with some more astragalus.
Mm-hmm.
And finally that night, I took the protocol again with some more astragalus. And then I woke up on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, no sore throat, felt great. Now, I'm not saying that's going to do that for you, but I'm saying it does it for me every time I use it. Now, it's really important that we think through this. Why are we not being told from a national standpoint to take D3K2, vitamin C, which you need to be taking every day anyhow, potassium iodide, vitamin C, all of these different things. You need zinc. All of this stuff is so important to regulate you and help strength it gives you. Because what if these clowns, I want to say a bad word, but I'm not. What if these clowns really do drop something on us that's going to really affect us? What if they turn on their 5G network in the fall? What if they turn that on and our immune systems go to crap and we all start getting really, really sick from the 5G and they blame it on COVID too?
Yeah.
What if they do that? See, all these things are possible case scenarios. So you've got to keep your immune system strong. You've got to think through this. You've got to have storable food. We've got organic storable food at Health Masters. Now, we have a hard time keeping it in stock. It may be in stock, may not be in stock, but we got more buckets coming in. You need to get that. Now, if you don't care about if it's organic or not, just go buy something. If you're really concerned and you don't have a lot of money to store storable food, go to your health food store and go buy organic canned goods. There you go. I'm just being as direct as I can. I'm not even promoting Health Masters right now. Go to your health food store and buy organic canned goods. You say, well, they only have a one-year shelf life. Okay, then buy a year supply.
There you go.
Buy a year supply and rotate through the cans. Now you can't say that I'm promoting our health foods to you. Listen to me, friends. These guys, these Kabbalists, these Luciferians, this God of this age that is blind to the hearts and the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see and know the truth. These guys are playing for blood. Remember, it says in the book of Revelation that the beast had like a mortal wound, but it was healed. I believe that mortal wound was healed because of all of the abortions from the United States. That's my belief. Because these druids and these sickos and this druidic council of 13 and all the psychopaths that run the planet that like to do weird sacrifices, they can't kill enough people, I don't believe, to heal that beast. But we sure killed 60 to 70 million babies, didn't we, guys? I didn't do it. You didn't do it. But that was done in our country. So, you know, these guys are like running the planet, running the world, running the banking systems. In fact, I told one of my friends the other day, I said, well, a lot of these guys like Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are Kabbalists. They go Shabbat Lubavitch. And they practice and read from the Zohar and they practice Kabbalah. They like to wear the little red string around the wrist, that kind of stuff. And one of my friends said, well, that's not so bad, is it? I said, not if you believe the universe is a whole bunch of lights in a tree and there's a big snake wrapped up in the middle of the tree named Ein Sof, and you're worshiping the snake and trying to resurrect your serpent god from this whatever. Then I guess it's not bad. But as far as I'm concerned, all these guys are nuts and they're all a bunch of Satanists. He goes, oh, I had no idea it was that bad. I'm like, it's that bad. I've done entire shows on that. In fact, if you go back into our January archives of the Ted and Austin Brewer show, you can listen to an entire expose I did on the Kabbalah and where it came from and where the Zohar came from. So you say, well, this is terrible. Yeah, I didn't say it was good. I didn't say I believe this crazy stuff they believe. This is what they believe, and it's how they act. But anyhow, so when you get people like Brownstein who get eviscerated, and then he puts out a clinical study to get them all to shut up and leave him alone, then you begin to realize that this may be that we need to be doing something other than sitting around hoping this stuff doesn't affect us. Now, one other thing you can do, if you've got high blood pressure and you're on blood pressure medication and all the other drugs that so many people are on right now, get yourself a little mini rebounder, a little mini trampoline. And no, we don't sell these at Health Masters. And start jogging on it. Get some good shoes on. Check with your doctor first. Make sure you can do it from a cardiovascular standpoint. And start jogging on this little trampoline. Do it 5 minutes twice a day. You know, I try to work out 6 days a week. I start my workout out with jogging on the trampoline for 5 minutes. Then I work out. And I come back and I jog on the trampoline some more. And then I do some cardio. So I spend 10 to 15 minutes a day doing cardio to keep my heart healthy, to keep my blood pressure healthy. And then we have all kinds of natural supplements that support healthy blood pressure, like HGH Stimulate, which also acts like a natural Viagra with guys. If you stack that with vitamin E and with zinc and HGH Stimulate, your libido, in most cases, will go through the roof unless you've got some other condition that won't allow that. In addition to that, it maintains healthy blood pressure. So, guys, there are all kinds of natural things that you can do to feel good. In fact, I've written literally hundreds of articles on the Health Masters website on health. And you guys can go to that website. You can put a topic in that you want to learn about and click it and just learn different things that we have as far as supplements that support healthy products in your body and support healthy lifestyles. And it's so important to understand because, guys, if something happens and our supply chain is just destroyed, I mean, you know, the Bush and Clinton crime families, they pretty much gave a lot of our manufacturing over to China. And a lot of our drugs and pharmaceutical medications are coming out of China now. What happens if all of these supposedly good drugs you're on to maintain all of these supposedly vital functions in your body suddenly stop coming in from China and we now have no ability to take these medications that we've been taking for years? Doesn't it make sense to work with your doctor in finding alternatives to taking these drugs, including supplementation and exercise, in order not to be dependent on these drugs? What happens if you have to have something that has to be refrigerated and now you lose refrigeration? The whole thing about this is, and I'm going to say this very clearly, these cabalists, these bankers, these Luciferians, these globalists, this committee of 300, this Druidic Council of 13, all of these nutbags, these Bohemian Grove guys, the CFR members, they have shut down the world's economies. They are all in this time, Doug. They're not going to crank it back up again. There won't be going back to normal. This is the new normal. They're not going to go, okay, we're all good now. We're going to crank it back up again, let it all roll. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They would not have gone all in. No, they're in too far, Doug. No. They spent all of their chips. They're all in. They can't pull their chips back out. They're not going to shut the world economy down again. They've gone too far this time. I mean, we got people in California now. They're telling them, and in Colorado too, that they're going to be arrested in Colorado up to a year in jail for not wearing a mask.
Yep.
What the heck? We had a government tell our citizens that they could have fireworks for the 4th of July. Why would they do that? Why? Because the 4th of July is a nationalistic holiday. Trump's a nationalist. He wants to make America great again is what he ran on in his campaign. And the reality is they don't want to make America great again. They don't want any nationalism. They only want obedient sheeple, servants of the state, drugged down on fluoride, drugged down on statin drugs, drugged down on tricyclic antidepressants, drugged down on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. That's what they want. They want people to basically be drugged and medicated. Pharmakia talks about it in the book of Revelation and how Babylon fell because of the sorcerers and their pharmakia. Read it. I've covered it on today's show. And see, this is where we find ourselves now, with a group of drug companies run by the same banking houses. Look at the Sackler family and their use of OxyContin and the $1.5 trillion worth of heroin being dragged out of Afghanistan every day. You know, most of our congressional leaders just voted again to stay in Afghanistan indefinitely. The black ops CIA money comes out of the drug trafficking. We've known that since Iran-Contra, for heaven's sakes. But yet, nobody wants to talk about it except for your show, my show, Hodges. I mean, we talk about this stuff, and everybody goes, oh, we can't talk about the central banks. Oh, we can't talk about the drug coming out of Afghanistan. Why not? Why can't we talk about the Sackler family and OxyContin and the millions and millions of people in this country that are opiate addicts right now in the United States, or the massive amount of people of over 50,000 a year dying from opiate overdoses? My own brother-in-law, Todd, Sharon's half-brother, died of a heroin overdose 6 years ago. Doug, you remember when that happened? Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable that this kind of stuff happens, but it happens all the time. Why? Because they've made these things readily available for everybody to use, including on the street. And they dry up the OxyContin supply, so you can't have that anymore or whatever. And you're addicted to it. They're either going to put you on methadone, which is actually worse, has a longer half-life, or you go on the street and get your opiates. I mean, this is where we are in this country. So we have tens of millions of people doped down with opiates, probably closer to 50 million. And we've got all these other people taking all these prescription drugs, doped down, drugged down. And that's why I'm answering your question now, Doug, why only 3% of the people are willing to fight. The rest of them have been drugged by pharmakia,
yeah,
by the sorcerers. That's what these guys are, these banks. They've been drugged by this.
Now, you and I may not agree about the how to handle the illicit heroin, illicit, opiate, situation. I mean, I don't agree with the fact that these morons out there who are not doctors make laws, that prohibit a cancer patient from taking a morphine type substance.
So stupid. You know, because, so stupid.
Oh, we can't have this guy who's going to die in 3 weeks, get addicted to this shit. Did I say that? I'm sorry. But I mean, it pisses me off to no end. So, however, you're correct. In the larger sense, you're correct. So, and I'm sorry.
Doug, I agree with you. I agree with you about that. If a person is dying, make them comfortable. Yeah. Forget about it.
But here's the thing in the larger sense. What you said about the masks, and this is a conversation I had with earlier today with a medical doctor here, who said, you know what, I'm not going to wear a mask. And if every person who identified as a Christian and who identified as a conservative got together and said, you know what, we're not going to follow your unconstitutional edicts, we would not be having this conversation. But doggone it, no one gives a damn or gives enough of a damn because they need that Walmart. They need that whatever store. We go, oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to do it because, well, I have to. And I, you know, stop it. Stop it. You don't need it or get it from someone else. Jack Cashel was on yesterday. He was saying, hey, you know what? There was a store in Western New York, DeWittsville, Big Sun. Big, or not a store, but a restaurant, Big Sun. We believe in the Constitution. You don't need a mask. Had a wonderful lunch there. Those are the places that are that we need to frequent if you want to have dinner or lunch or whatever. So anyway, yeah, I'm rambling, but there it is. Healthmasters.com. Before I forget, healthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code. Folks, you need to get this to feel better and to have the spunk in you to fight as well as to fight off whatever might be ailing you. Healthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code. Healthmasters.com. Do it today. Do it tonight. Do it right now. All right. Go ahead. We got about 5 minutes left, bro. 5 minutes.
You know, okay, if we're going to do 5 minutes, let's do the 5 minutes. Support Roger Stone. Go to Roger Stone's website. And the other day, in fact, I should have wore the T-shirt. It says Roger Stone still did nothing wrong. Yeah. And I bought 5 of his shirts when I was with him the other day. They were like $20 a piece. And they were going to give me the shirts. I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm buying the shirts. You're not going to give me a shirt when you guys are broke. And he had a mask that said Free Roger Stone on the mask. And I laughed because I knew I wasn't going to wear the mask, but he gave me a couple of those too. And I thought, you know, if we don't stand in aggregate for Roger Stone, and I know that don't be fussing at me again because I understand his past.
Yeah, so do I.
But if
so
he's
what?
Truly born again, so what? If he's truly born again, which we have to believe that if he says he is, okay? Because
yes.
We can't judge one another, okay? If he's truly born again, and I gave him scriptures one after another the other day. He's saying, take a picture of a screen. Take a picture of a screen. Send me that scripture. Send me that scripture. If we truly are patriots at this point, because Roger Stone and Christians at this point, we got to support the guy. You know, if everybody goes to him and buys a T-shirt from the Hagman Show right now, or just give him $20 as a donation, the guy is living. I was at his house for 4 hours, his apartment, his tiny little apartment. I mean, I felt horrible for the guy. I mean, this is where he's gone. I mean, he's living in a big house on the coastal waterway, lost it all.
Yep.
Because of the Mueller investigation, which was a complete fraud.
Yes.
I mean, if we can't coalesce behind Roger and support him, and right now when he's got less than a week before he has to report to prison in Georgia, then why in the world do we call ourselves Christians? The Bible says they'll know you because you support one another and you love one another and you stand for each other. I'm paraphrasing that, but because you love one another, we've got to love one another. Guys, we've got to support one another. Guys, if we can't support each other as Christians, then who's going to support us when they come for us? Like the Nazi thing with that German priest over there. We've got to do this right now. We are at the very ends of the United States Constitutional Republic, known as the United States of America. We're at the end of it. And if we don't support one another right now, we are going to go down into the ash heap as so many other. There are only like 8 countries left in the last 100 years that were 100 years ago. There are like 8 of us left, including us and Switzerland and a few others. Everybody else has already had the governments changed out. Because of the international bankers. That's what they wanted. What the CIA was involved with the overthrow of, 60 different countries? And they're involved in this right now. They proved that by all the research they did in mind and groupthink control from Edward Bernays and Sigmund Freud and Operation Paperclip using the MK Ultra program, which was a continuation of the Nazi concentration camp experiments. Guys, this is nuts. And we have to stand against this. And if you're going to wear a mask, if you're forced to wear a mask, you raise HE double sticks before you put it on. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I'm doing this under duress. That's what you do. If you go to the Department of Families or the Department of Driver's License, you've got to renew a driver's license. You go in there raising HE double sticks about what they're forcing you to do and be vocal about it. If we all do that, they'll stop this junk. They have to. It's 0.1%, 0.01% that run this planet. And they're telling the other 8 billion people what to do. What the heck, man? We don't have to be sheep, and we don't have to be serfs, and we don't have to be slaves to this New World Order. So guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your toothpaste from us. Thank you for, if you're going to drink coffee, getting your coffee from Doug Hagman.
There you go.
Thank you for supporting the people that are supporting you guys. I love you guys. Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to take that last piece and at some point I'm going to post produce it or have Eric post. We're going to put that last piece up because I thought that was dramatically accurate and dramatic.
Thank you, Doug. You're right.
We're at the end of the show. God bless you. Thank you very much. Healthmasters.com.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. And folks, healthmasters.com. If you don't go there tonight, then I don't want to talk to you. No, I'm kidding. Seriously, get your nutritional supplements, healthmasters.com. Do it today, healthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code. You can't afford not to do it. And look, if you think, well, what do I get? If you do nothing else, get your ultimate multiple vitamin, your daily vitamin from healthmasters.com, but get it all. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much. HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com, HagmanStore.com. Good night, everyone.